he's coming with passion. And he's coming saying, man, look, this is it. We've got to be ready to stay in the battle. We've got to be ready to fight the battle. And as Jude gives them these instructions, he says three things.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1.
Too much out there. And really, unless you got some kind of focus, unless you got some kind of spiritual oomph inside you, you're going to struggle. Because, it's, you know, the world is just pulling all downhill. There's nothing positive about the world. Nothing positive at all. I mean, now when I say the world, I mean the world system. There's nothing positive about that. And it's designed to destroy all that God represents and all that God stands for. And we as Christians, you know, we need to make sure that we are walking right and that we're doing the right things so that we can be looking forward to the return of God. One songwriter said, one day Jesus will call my name. He said that on the day when he calls my name, I want to be so close to him, there's no big change. On the day when Jesus calls my name. You know what that means? That one day we're going to be transformed into his likeness and image, according to 1 John. Now, for some of us, you know, have anybody seen this this new TV show on Wednesday nights, Extreme Makeover? See, for some saints, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be an extreme makeover. When the Lord comes back, it's going to be an extreme makeover. I mean, you have to go somewhere for 6 weeks, man, and have the experts work on you. But you know, I may have to preach a message on that one day. Extreme makeover or touch up? Which one? We're going to be transformed into his likeness. And for some believers who have not been walking according to his precepts and according to his principles, it's going to be a drastic change. But God's child should so much desire that the Lord would return and live the life that reflects the character of Christ, that on the day when he appears, that there's no big change. We just keep on about our business because we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Final instructions for the troops. First, fall back on basic training. Second, stay focused in the battle. Stay focused in the battle. Stay focused on those who have great doubt. Stay focused on those who are in great danger. And stay focused on those who are in great depravity. Look what he says here, verse 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. Now, the King James, that's the reading in the King James, but the NIV reads this way, and some have compassion whose faith is wavering. You know what that means? That there are some folk that's around us that are wavering, and that as we're in this battle against these apostates, against keeping the truth pure, as we're in this battle against doing God's will, that we need to come alongside those who are wavering, that we who are mature. See, that's what, you know, people say that they've got mature. And see, they're so mature that they can't put themselves under the word, or they can't, you know, put themselves in a place where they're being challenged by the word. Well, then you know what? You ought to be looking for folk who are wavering. You ought to be on your knees every day. If you've arrived at that place of spiritual maturity, you ought to be on your knees every day. Lord, show me somebody that's wavering. Show me somebody that's on the edge. Lord, let me pray for them. And then, Lord, help me to be able to go to them and help them in their wavering condition. Man, we get people, new members, join the church. That's why, You know, we have discipleship classes. You know, for anybody. You know, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for anybody here at Bethany to be immature in the faith. There's no excuse at all. Because we have a discipleship class that you can go to where you can learn the fundamental rudimentary elements of the Christian faith. And you can be grounded in Christ in the Christian faith. And then we have other opportunities where you can grow. And so there should not be anyone here who is an immature Christian. But you know, I realize that we got to preach messages like this. You know why? Because there are those who are wavering. There are immature individuals. Yeah, I was thinking, I said, you know what? Sometimes, and I try to be obedient to the Lord, but you know, sometimes when the Lord tells me about, like, well, you need to hit people studying their Bibles, you need to hit that hard. I'd be saying, well, Lord, you know, man, I think people are getting tired of hearing that. You know, I said, man, you know, they could probably get tired of the pastor staying up there and say, man, you need to read your Bible. You need to hear, you need to have devotion. You need to come to Bible study. You need to be involved in a Bible study. You know, man, people, they already know that, Lord. You know what God told me? He said, they must not be doing it, though. So you got to keep saying it. He said, you know, you don't have to keep saying things that people are already doing. Now, you'll never hear me get up and say, the title of my message this morning is Why You Should Breathe. You don't have to tell anybody to breathe. You don't have to preach a sermon on breathing. Why? Because we're going to do that. We're going to breathe. So you don't have to be encouraged to breathe. And so we see that we need to encourage folk that are wavering. Those who are not growing. Those who are teetering. Jude said, man, get with them. Yo, take them out to lunch. Yo, ask them, can you come over to the house and just share with them from the word of God? What does Galatians say? We who are spiritual. Restore such a one. And you know, man, sometimes we just escape that. Well, you know, I'm busy. My job, I got work all day on my job, and you know, I get home and I'm tired. But you know, man, we got to get out. I'm serious now, saints. You know, God has blessed us with jobs. God has blessed us with jobs. And we all can come up with an excuse as to why we can't go and get with somebody else. Why we can't encourage somebody else. Well, I'm just too tired. Well, you know what? It's easy to say that. But I think that God is looking for us to take an extra step sometimes, especially when we see people that are wavering, when we see people that are struggling. Jude said, go get with them. Have compassion on them, man. Have compassion on them. Go pray with them. Go get down in the sorrow with them and encourage their heart and lift them up. Stay focused in the battle. The second thing he says is not only to stay focused on those who have great doubt, but he says stay focused on those who are in great danger. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. What does that mean? That some people are in danger of God's judgment. Whether that be, because many commentators have different interpretations, but whether that's hell, or whether that's just somebody that's getting ready to fall under the judgment of God. You know, and there's a lot of folk, a lot of Christians that are getting ready to fall under God's judgment. They're living in such a way where God is getting ready to judge them. Now, I don't know if you realize that. You just read the Old Testament. You can't play with God. And you can't stay in sin too long without God getting ready to bring his judgment on you. What did Jude say? Jude said, look out and see those who are in great danger. Whether they are listening to false teaching and getting ready to give into it, or whether they are living a life that's not pleasing to God, see them, because they're getting ready to fall under the fire. And see, don't be like the guy now. Don't be like the guy in California a couple of weeks ago. You heard about this guy. There was these children, this mother and children in this burning building. And the guy went in and got the kids out. Went in and got the kids out, snatched them from the fire, and got them out. Man, this guy was a hero. Picture on TV. He was a hero until the police saw him and found out that he was wanted for something and arrested him. See, maybe the reason that we are not running into fires and snatching folk out, because the police are looking for the police are looking for us. We know that we're not right. We know that we're not doing right. You know, we need to get right so that we can go snatch them out of the fire. You know, sometimes that's why Christians don't want to do things, because, well, you know what? If my life was right, then I wouldn't mind going doing it. But, you know, I'm struggling myself, and you know, I really don't want to go do that. And besides, you know, if I confront somebody on something, then you know what? They might just throw something back in my face, and I really don't want to be exposed at this point. Well, see, you're just like the guy that went in there. You know, he went in there and got caught. All right, get your life cleaned up. Get your life straightened up so that you can go into the fire and you can snatch those who are in danger. Man, you know, some folk, and you know, I think that what our problem is that we really don't have, and here we go. I know people don't want to hear this, all right? I know this is a word that we don't like to say in the church today. But people don't, we don't have a good concept of hell. You know, I'm just going to be honest. You know, I think that, you know, liberal theologians, and you know, I've run into pastors. I've run into pastors that just have such a watered down message on hell that it's ridiculous. But the Bible seems to have some pretty strong warnings about the fact that some folk are going there. Now, whether, you know, and here once again, now we got all these concepts. You know, somebody will say over here, well, you know, hell is a place where there's literal fire and there's literal worms that eat you. Then somebody over here will say, well, it's not really literal, but, you know, wherever you're at, it just feels like, you know, you're going to be in hell and, you know, there's not really fire, but it's going to feel like your body is burning. And there's not really worms. It's just going to feel like they're eating at your body. Well, you know what? I don't care what it is. I don't want to go there. I'll be honest with you. I don't care what it is. You know, I really don't want to go. And you know what? I don't want to see other folk go there. And so that's why Jude said, man, snatch them. If they're on the precipice of judgment, snatch them from the fire. Go out there and rescue them. Man, we don't have a burden for the lost. I mean, we really don't, man. We are so consumed with our own issues and our own problems. And see, I heard somebody say the other day that that we all have shoes. We all have shoes. You got family shoes and you got personal shoes. What kind of shoes are you talking about? I'm not talking about the ones you wear on your feet. I'm talking about issues. You know? We all got issues. And sometimes our issues keep us from doing what we're supposed to do. Man, we got to begin to deal with, man. We got to begin to deal with our issues now, because, man, you know what the other thing I realize is that when you start seeing too much conflict in the church, then you know the thing that I realize is that we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're really not focusing, because if we're focusing on the lost and we're focusing on getting folk to grow and we're focusing on building up people in the faith, then we don't have time for conflict. And so we need to be about the business of doing what the master told us to do. And if we see those who are in great danger, we see those who are on the precipice of judgment, man, our hearts ought to be burning somewhere within us. And we ought to just want to reach out and grab them and snatch them from the fire that they're going to fall into. He says, stay focused in the battle. Stay focused on those who have great doubt. Stay focused on those who are in great danger. And then he says, stay focused on those who are in great depravity. Look what he says in verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, this is a powerful concept right here. And what Jude is saying is that, that there are some individuals that they are so defiled, that they are so wicked, that they are so corrupt, that even the garment that they wear have been stained by their defilement. Now, you know, that's pretty bad. You know, you look at baseball players, football players, and basketball players, any athlete that when they're playing and they begin to get out there and get in the dirt and perspire, that what happens? Their garment is stained. Why? Because of the effort that they're putting into the sport that they're playing. And Jude is saying here that these individuals are so corrupt. I mean, you know, they are leading people down the wrong road. You know, I think God is going to hold adults responsible who are telling children the wrong things and doing the wrong things. You know, adult that would encourage a child in some type of sin. An adult that would encourage a child to watch something that they shouldn't watch. An adult that would encourage a child to be involved in some type of immoral act. Man, God is going to hold them accountable. You got to be a pretty wicked person to do something like that. But yet and still, that's the world that we live in. And so what Jude is saying, that these individuals are so wicked that their garments have been defiled. I mean, you got to be pretty wicked to be so wicked in your heart that your garment ends up being defiled. Wow, that's deep to me. That's deep. But what's Jude's advice? Look what he says. He says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the garment, out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Well, why is he telling us that? You know why? Keep an eye on them. Keep an eye on them. You know those individuals that are that wicked? You know, keep an eye on them. Just don't let them get, you know, keep them at arm's distance now. You know, show them the love of God. You know, show them the love of God. But you know what? Do it like that. Don't let them get too close to you. Because see, when they get close to me, what happens? Then we start rubbing up against each other. And their garment is already defiled. And what's going to happen? Then my garment gets defiled. See, that's why you got to watch who you fellowship with. You know, folks think, you know, you as a believer, you as a child of God, you just can't fellowship with anybody now. You can't be out here fellowshipping with the works of darkness. You can't be out here fellowshipping with those who are living sinful lifestyle. Why? Because eventually their garment is already defiled. And if they get close to you, your garment will be defiled. And that's what Jude is saying. He's saying, watch them. Watch them. Keep an eye on them. But keep them at a distance. Don't let them get too close to you. Fall back on the basic training. Stay focused in the battle. And then Jude concludes with this. Keep your eyes on the commander in chief. He talks about two things here. The work of the commander and the worship of the commander. What is the work of the commander? Verse 24. Now I went to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The work of the commander in two aspects. What he can do now and what he'll do later. Well, what can the commander do now? Well, he can keep you from stumbling. he can guard you from stumbling. I was at this conference last week, and she was giving this testimony about how that she was in a church, and she had to be somewhere when the church was over. And she was telling, this was her testimony now. She said that she was getting ready, you know, time was coming, it was going by, and she had to be at this other church. And so they were giving the invitation, and she said that, you know, the Lord was telling her to stay through the invitation, but she said, I got to be at this other church. So she got up and walked out, and there was a group of people, you know, down, I guess, you know, waiting for people to come and pick them up. And she said that she walked down, she got to the bottom step, and she fell down. And she said that she fell down, she looked up, and the Lord spoke to her, now I went to him who is able to keep you from falling. Well, I don't know why she said it. I just thought that it went in right here. I don't know. Now I went to him who was able to keep you from falling. I don't know what the point she was trying to make. Y'all help me. I'll figure that out. You know, the Lord is able, when you keep your eyes on the commander in chief, he's able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from stumbling. If you go back to the basic training and you stand firm on the basic training and you stay focused in the battle and you keep your eyes on the commander in chief, he's able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from giving in to the false prophets. He's able to keep you from wandering off into sin. He's able to keep you walking straight and going on the straight and narrow path unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Man, saint, folks are falling today. They're falling left and they're falling right. They're falling all around us. But when we keep our eyes on God, right now, not after a while, not next week, not next year, but right now, he's able to keep you from falling. Oh, God never let anybody fall that was looking at him. I guarantee you that everybody who fell in the sin, whatever sin you fell into, just think about it for 1 minute. Just think about it for 1 minute. That whatever sin you fell into, you didn't fall into sin because you had your eyes on God. You fell into sin because you took your eyes off of the commander in chief. And Jude is telling the folk here that these false prophets are all up in the church. They're all in here. And we got to keep our eyes on him who is able to keep us from stumbling and falling and giving in to these false prophets. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling. What he can do now. Oh, praise God. And what can he do later? Oh, yeah. Yeah. What can he do later? Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Woo! Woo! Man. Man, ooh, that's powerful. That one day, you know, Moses could not even stand in the presence of God. God had to shadow it so that the full glory of his presence was not revealed to Moses. But Jude says that when we keep our eyes on the commander in chief, that one day, man, we're going to be able to stand in his presence, cheesing with joy, exceeding joy. Not ashamed, not embarrassed, but to stand before him with joy. The songwriter said, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Somebody help me here. Faultless, yeah, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are just sham rocks. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. That if I will keep my eyes on the commander in chief, that one day I'm going to be able to stand. The choir sang about it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That when I stand in his presence, I will be blameless. And unless we are mistaken, don't think that you got anything to do with it now. Don't think that you got anything to do with it. Christ is the one that set you up. Christ is the one that cleansed you. He's the one that fixed you up so that you could stand before God blameless. And God just says, keep on running the race. The work of the commander, what he can do now and what he will do later. Let me stop there because I don't want to mess with the rest of that right now. I got to stop. That's just too powerful. We'll finish that next week. That's a whole sermon right there in itself. The worship of the commander. The worship, man, we're going to stop right there. Final instructions for the troops. Fall back on basic training, stay focused in the battle, and keep your eyes on the commander in chief.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in your storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.